Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The Match Ball.
Well, hello to you. Welcome to the Match Ball. Leeds against Brentford. Dan here, along with Michael and Moscow White. Daniel Chapman, as well, as clutching the latest issue of the Square Ball. Came out today. Eddie Gray on the cover there, and lots of stuff about the Gray family.
Yep.
Find that on the website. We should say the show is brought to you by Levi Solicitors as well. 10% discount on your legal fees. Web address in a second. 15% off on Michael, my right-hand man.
Convincing
here.
Probate.
Wills. Wills. Probate, convincing.
That's the ones.
All three of those in whatever order you fancy. Thesquareball.net. Sorry, beg your pardon. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball.
You were thinking where people could buy the magazine, weren't you?
I was.
That's thesquareball.net, and it's only £2.50, and we'll post it to you. It doesn't include postage, but that's cheap.
Right, then. 0-0 against Brentford. I thought we were the better side in that game. What do you think? It was two fairly evenly matched teams in the Premier League who didn't really manage to unlock one another fully. I thought it was a good performance by us.
It was all right, wasn't it? The one result I said it wouldn't be, 0-0.
Mm.
There it was. I didn't bank on us having a good defender in our team.
And should we start on Maximilian Werber? Because I thought he was excellent today.
Yeah, I thought it was.
His anticipation, his timing, his organisational skills, very good indeed. Well done. Good purchase.
Some nice big tackles too, where he just launched himself at stuff and everyone went, "Way, go on!"
And
a bit of that.
And that was generally sort of sorting other people's stuff out as well. His own stuff tends to be just being in the right place, which is good. I like that.
Yeah, it's nice to see a sort of defensive performance that's not panic. And I mean, we did manage to inject a bit of panic in the last 5 or 10 minutes, didn't we? But
well, hang on. Captain Controversy Carly in the comments is saying it's indicative of how far we've fallen that people think that was a good performance and a good point. But you've got to take it on its own merits, haven't you? Like, I know there is a wider context here about where the state of the season is in the table, but on its own merits, if we had, let's say, 23 points on the board now, rather than whatever paltry total we've got, you'd have gone, all right, fair enough, you know, 0-0, Premier League game, pretty much cancelled each other out, not a lot of really clear-cut chances, but as it is.
I've missed a good meaty 0-0. And that's what that was.
I found it quite engaging, I have to say. I never felt bored during it.
No, there weren't any... You know, bicycle kicks, and there wasn't any like.
What's Nonto doing?
Loads of exciting, like, goal mouth chances and stuff. And it did get a bit, you know, you'd highly call it high quality, but that's something. And maybe that person commenting is right that it's sort of diminished expectation, but it's something that we've not managed to achieve for a while is staying in a game all the way through. Clean sheet is huge. And not being outplayed, not looking like a bunch of idiots.
Mm. Well, if you compare it to how we defended down there, it's night and day, isn't it? Carl's just following up. I am just having fun with you, Carl, by the way. Says, not that controversial when you look at the fixtures in the table. No, I completely agree.
And Brentford are supposed to be dead good, aren't they?
Yeah, but this is the thing. We have dug ourselves a bit of a hole, but on the signs of the organisation at the back today, good. We know we've got all the best attacking talent in the world now.
Just can't score.
We just cannot score.
How much did we pay for Rutter? What did he do today? Nothing. Mm. Record signing, absolute waste of money.
It will feature in the FA Cup, says Jesse.
Yeah, I mean, Brentford are 12 points ahead of us, which does kind of indicate they're a better team than us.
But you could also argue, just on our own merits, we should probably have at least another 6 points on the board, if not more.
We probably should.
Based on games. But we're one of the highest points thrower awayers, I think, is the XPTA.
Mm. Yes. Which is where today was kind of interesting, because it did get those last 10 minutes that you're talking about again. You know, we chucked a couple away in the last 10 minutes against Cardiff. And then today, it seemed, if there is criticism, it's that we got near the end and looked a little bit like, let's just let them win.
And there was that moment where we all went a bit loose and wild, didn't it? And you thought, stop doing that.
Yeah,
we like some silly passes, or they're trying to build from the back and just passing it straight to Brentford.
I suppose the difference is Brentford came out for the second half and were determined to time waste and get away with an away point and nick a win if they could. Whereas in the last 5 minutes, you could see when we won a corner and Sam Greenwood came on to do some set piece special teams. Marsh was on the sidelines waving everybody forward, going, come on. And I was thinking, this is a really, really good way to lose this game instead of just like maybe doing what Brentford are doing and just going, like, right, a point, a clean sheet, are things that we've not been able to get very easily. So although we'd love a win, I would have been happy if we just battened down the hatches for the last 10 minutes, but instead we were pushing.
Yeah, Wesley Metcalf in the comments on YouTube says, I had the fear in the last 10 minutes. Yeah, it's fine to have the fear, because this is a team that's given us reason to have the fear this season, but I was quite relaxed during that game, by and large.
Well, because we had the ball. Without ever exerting very much pressure in the second half, we had the ball for all of it, it felt like. It's hard to know exactly what needed to change in it, because we moved players around, made subs.
Tactics.
None of it.
You're whispering the word tactics.
None of it really made a difference.
Well, we'll say what. Attacking, we're doing that thing again. And because Brentford were kind of being quite defensive, I noticed that in the early stages of the second half, their half was absolutely with players.
Well, I was just going to say their formation, actually. The point I was going to make was it was basically 5-3 and then two were lingering up front. So we were up against the wall of eight.
And we're heading for where the most players are, and trying to play all the little 1-2s and the back heels and the layoffs, and they're close, but sometimes you just think, lads, there's loads of space out there where it'd be really easy to control the ball and you could cross from there. We did well with it getting to the byline. Luke Ayling had some crosses from the touchline and stuff, but we do try to do the most difficult way of playing these intricate balls through where there are loads of players. And it can be difficult, but maybe Rutter, well, if he's the best dribbling, we've just heard Jesse saying that Max Verber is the best passing centre back he's ever seen. Rutter is the most two-footed, best dribbler he's ever seen. So that would help with Nyonto as well from the other side. So,
but Rodrigo's already the best striker he's ever seen, and he was on the pitch for like 75 minutes.
Stop being mean.
Luke Ayling, in fact, given you mentioned him, he was good today again. Mm-hmm. Thought it was his best performance for quite a while.
Just going to say, actually, from a tactical point of view and the sort of shape of the game, Andrew L in the comments is saying they had a total of 95 passes in our half all game. We had 237 in theirs. So it shows we were far more the protagonists in this game. But it's also worth saying that is or was Brentford's game plan, is to concede possession, much like we did down there, and then hit us on the break. I just think we dealt far better with the breaks in this fixture than we did down there.
Yeah, we did. How many touches did the ref have?
Three, I think it was, wasn't it?
I think it was four or five.
It hit him at least, but let's say a minimum of three, because I can recount three.
You know, we've said before, when you go a bit mad and you start just shouting stuff, I was going, get out of the way!
Yeah.
Well, on like the third occasion, standing in the fucking middle of everything.
Or stop just giving Brentford the ball afterwards, because it was either if Brentford have got the ball, play on. If they don't have the ball, stop the game and give it to them. Peter Banks is the name you're looking for.
The guy from Mary Poppins, isn't he, Mr. Banks? Is it Peter Banks?
And if you, it's always good to check that before the game, because it rhymes.
What, Mary Poppins?
No, the referee's name, because when it rhymes so good, there's plenty of opportunity that you missed while you were screaming at him. Think of if you had your chance again, so many
Peter
good things.
Peter Banks! And things along those lines. I was going to say subs. People, I've written down the word subs. A number of people asking about why didn't we make subs early. I think the game was quite delicately balanced today, didn't it? It almost felt like one of those where you just think you don't want to unbalance it like against you as well as in your favour. You've got to just be careful. Like when Sinisterra came on, he did a couple of nice little things, but he wasn't that influential, was he, really, in terms of the shape of the game? A couple of nice little layoffs, but you wondered if, because you've put a fresh pair of legs on, they're not quite up to the speed of the game, he's coming back from injury, does that just give us that 5% less and you kind of worry about making subs? I mean, I would have liked to have seen Rutter just for pure excitement purposes, but I accept that he's probably
not
ready.
More or less working, wasn't it? And I thought Rodrigo was actually doing fairly well up front. He had some nice moments.
It's a tough crowd, isn't it?
Well, he wasn't working brilliantly, because it's not like we're looking back and going, oh, that massive chance that Bamford missed, and only if we'd only squared it here, we'd have been out of tapping or whatever. The chances we had were a bit of putting balls into a crowded box, and if you get lucky, it breaks to you, or
There was a lot of penis ball hitting the penalty spot, wasn't there?
Yeah, or it, you know, the goalkeeper flaps at it and someone can nod it in or whatever. What was our best chance? I'm trying to think of any saves. Rodrigo forced a couple of saves.
And Willie's, when he hit him at the near post, we took a shot earlier.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, we had some good shots, but not really. And then we had some weak shots that were pretty easy to deal with. I think it's that delicate alchemy that suddenly today, okay, not suddenly today, because we played well against Aston Villa and we played very well against Cardiff. But then today, in a game where everybody's a bit worried about which way it will go, it was going well. So the decision to change it is a big one. But at the same time, I don't know if Brendan was really on top of things today.
It's been his recent form.
Continuing his recent form, where there were some bits that were good, but then there were...
But then, even then, he wasn't terrible, was he? He was just a bit poor in his choices. There was that point at which, you remember when he cut inside from the right, attacking the cop, and everyone sort of bade him to hit it, but he was on his left foot, and you just wonder maybe if his confidence has taken a bit of a knock. The crowd has not been on his back, but there were a couple of kind of groans at things he did early doors that he misplaced.
He had about 5 minutes in the first half where he just couldn't do anything right. And it's like,
he did well to recover from that, actually. I thought.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've been saying for a while, he looks like a really good player, but he also looks like somebody who could do with a break. And I think Rutter is probably, that's the shirt that he could quite easily take. Sinister is there as well. So hopefully he will be able to go. And as we advised him last week, get drunk out of his mind.
His tiny mind. It was put to me on text, which I mentioned to you when we caught up with each other, didn't we, on the way back down from Elland Road. Our friend Wayne, mutual friend, texted me and said, sometimes it's like trying to thread a needle with a rope, the way we're trying to get through the middle. It was a bit like that, wasn't it? It was very congested in the middle.
Yeah, although I think we are still wider than we were at the start of the season.
Yeah. Well, Luke Ayling kept doing like the overlaps, didn't he? And trying to run into the channel, you know, the little half space in the area.
He's not touchline wide, is it? It's always the half space wide and getting into that bit. And so there's still...
Listen to us talking tactics.
Still a lot of players there that we've got
I'm scared now.
get through. And that's it. When you do have Aronson isn't 100% clicking, and Jackie, we know he kind of comes and goes, where he's sometimes, he'll, like, he did one touch in the second half where he brought the ball under control, and you heard the entire crowd just purring because he can do these beautiful things. But then he'll try to pass a through ball to Nyonto and he'll just whack it into the hoardings and be like, bugger. But it does, it's because trying to go through that mass of players is quite a difficult thing to do, and it's kind of like where you can understand the simplicity of just like, it might be easier to just play where there's more room, but it's not what we're going
to
do.
The thing is, you've got to create room. You can't just, it's easy to say that. You've got to create room and then know how to play into it.
Don't seem interested in doing that.
No, I'm saying it's dead easy to try, you know, they'll try and thread the needle in the channels and the half spaces or whatever it is. And you can see on the far side, there's loads of space or the man's overlapping, but it's, you can't just whack it over there because you want to. You've got to then, you know, create the shape with the ball.
And also because Marshall will have you off the pitch if you try doing that. So
just interesting stat here. Hi to Leeds Abroad in the comments on YouTube saying the Leeds 0.24 XG against is the lowest allowed since the promotion season.
Verba.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
have we conceded a goal with him on the pitch yet? I don't know if we have we?
No, I don't think so.
That's good.
No, because we hadn't before today and we didn't concede today. So. Yeah.
So we got a clean sheet against Newcastle. That's good. Got a clean sheet today.
The Newcastle one. I'm barely counting that. But
no, I was remember listening to the match ball and you weren't having that game. But our defending in that match actually gave me a lot of confidence because we were saving ourselves from mistakes instead of making mistakes and conceding. So things were going wrong that normally would end up with the ball in the back of the net, but then there would be a block or there'd be a save or there would be something that would stop it from happening. And that's like the extra step of defending can go right the way to your goal line and your goalkeeper. It all works. Just because you're giving up chances doesn't mean that it means that you're giving up too many chances, but you can still defend well. And yeah, I suppose that's our last meaty 0-0. And I quite enjoyed that as well. Maybe I'm turning into some kind of
George Graham.
You should get the 96-97 season review out.
Get Sean Dyche in with George Graham as director of football and the rest of the season will just be absolute joy.
But Melier didn't make any saves, did he?
Not any of...
that I can remember.
Not a few shots.
Well, this is interesting because Brentford, there was a couple of... He did quite well on a couple of crosses. Brentford, there Matthias Jensen tried shooting from a free kick from the halfway line and then Ivan Toney had a shot at him from the wing from about 45 yards out. I don't know if they had the idea as like a tactic of their keeper's useless, test him. Because that's completely wrong.
That's a bit mean.
Because our keeper's brilliant and he's never going to be... He just looked at those shots like, I cannot believe this is serious. Why are you shooting at me from here?
3-4, saying in the comments, Brentford kept trying the long ball over the midfield that usually undoes us, but we never let it expose us today, which is a great sign for our defence.
When Rico Henry got round the back, Tony flicked it on, Henry's in the back.
So then, the game got a bit stretched at that point, though,
Robin
it?
Koch did a very good, it was in the first half, so it wasn't that stretched, but Robin Koch, what did he do? He blocked the ball. That was good.
That's a good thing to do for a defender.
Yeah, it was.
Would you recommend that? He's a coach. Just check with Coach Michael over here.
Is that a good thing to do?
Blocking the ball.
Yes.
Good.
And then the other one was a set piece. They had a free kick almost on the whistle of half time when we just decided not to mark Ivan Toney behind everybody. He just
that
ran
feels that feels like a mistake.
Yeah, and it was, did he get the ball? I think he shot wide. And he was just a little bit like, yeah, don't do that again.
Overall, I quite enjoyed Toney against Koch. That was quite a decent battle. They were very physical with each other. I felt like they were more or less both fouling each other the whole time.
That's what he meant by meaty. It was a very meaty game. Wasn't it? Yeah, there was a lot of physicality going on it, but without it being dirty.
Yeah. We didn't foul very much, actually, did we today?
No.
Some of the ones that were given, I thought, were soft at times.
Yeah, on Banks. But with that Banks referee, it was just a toss of a coin.
Yeah, I feel like some games, it feels like we give away a free kick every 2 or 3 minutes, whereas this was...
It was interesting.
I'd have to check the stats. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like we didn't give them too much.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It was interesting one with, I think it's Jensen, who went in late on Luke Ayling when he was taking a throw-in and caught him quite high. And it wasn't very tidy. I don't think he got a yellow card, but he stood over him shouting at him as if he was Roy Keane shouting at Alfie Haaland. And then it was him who ended up having the fight with Tyler Adams next to the tunnel when everybody and then Luke Ayling came over as well. And everybody was just having a good old laugh and a big old giggle. But I couldn't quite work out what sort of begun all that. So he was quite annoying. Brentford are just a bit irritating, really, in most ways. Like, everybody knows that the rule on a free kick is you have to stand 10 yards away. So if you're standing 2 yards from the ball and the referee says you're not far enough away, just going like, but I am.
He was actually trying to get him to move the ball back, wasn't he? But also delaying the taking of the free kick.
He was lying.
But, I mean, to be fair, he's one of 1,000 players that's done that.
He bottled it on a throw-in as well, did the ref, because Luke Ayling tried to take one quickly and he was blocked from doing so, which should have been a booking. But
it was over by the West Stand, yeah.
It was in front of the East. But then he went, oh, no, it's because you do need to move it a bit. So that was nothing wrong with that. But actually, he made him move it back about 2 metres, to an amount that normally... they completely let slide, but he felt like he saw it as a little way out from having to bug someone.
He bottled it on sending Toney off as well for booting the ball away. Rodrigo's was actually a little bit harsh because he got the ball and he did sort of what Marsh did the other week where he knew he couldn't throw the ball away.
He shaped up to boot it into the stand like a goalkeeper.
So he was he was trying to reduce his anger and ended up just like...
slammed it into the floor, didn't he? Yeah,
it was like pinning it. So it didn't actually go too far away from...
It was a booking. The problem is the ref was shit in a general sense.
If that's a booking, Tony, when he boots the ball away after the free kick given, should have been his second yellow.
Not disagreeing. It was dissent, and I understand players get booked for that. You don't want to see players getting booked for it, but it was by the letter of the law.
I always feel bad for them when they've made the effort to contain the temper and then they get a yellow card anyway for like the much reduced version of what they were going to do. Because if he had got the ball and booted it over the east stand in the first place like he wanted to, it still would have been a yellow card. Yeah. So he may as well just have done that.
Get value from it.
Yeah, exactly. Instead, he was like, no, I'm going to really do something that won't get me booked. And then that's what
he
gets.
I think he was booked for that because I've made a note of it. I think about 30 seconds before, the ref had given a free kick to, I've still never known how to pronounce his name. He's been playing against us for like 5 years. Brian Mbuemo.
Mbuemo, I think.
People pronounce it differently. But he'd given a free kick.
Brian.
And I don't think the referee had actually seen it. I think it was in his peripheral vision and he saw him down and he went, probably.
I think he pissed off
Rodrigo with that and then the other thing happened and he was like, for fuck's sake.
He was doing that on quite a few occasions, the ref. You could tell he hadn't quite seen stuff. Like there was one over towards me by the east where, I think it was the first half probably, am I thinking of, where a couple of players kind of crossed over and one of their players just went to ground and there was nothing in it. He fell over it, you know, anticipating some contact. But he gave it because the ref was like on the blind side of it. I think he just guessed.
Yeah.
Just guessed what was going on.
It's dead difficult being a ref.
It is, but don't
especially if you're rubbish.
Yeah, don't be shit and get in the way of everything. I mean, to be fair, we're getting caught up on a fairly minor part.
No, it's good. I was thinking this. I'm glad to be slagging off the referee instead of Jesse Marsh, for example, or our idiot defenders or any of that stuff that was sort of been plaguing us for the last few months. I don't know why I feel good about a 0-0 draw, but something about today just felt like...
It felt normal, Moscow. Yeah. It felt like a normal football match rather than one where you're tearing your hair out going, what is he trying to do? I see what he was trying to do.
Yeah, I don't really think it's a very good idea, but it wasn't terrible and we could have won. We could have lost, but it wasn't a could have lost in the kind of, like the way at Villa where we just absolutely threw those goals away. We didn't do any of that today.
There was more of a sense of control, wasn't there?
Mm.
There's no control.
Maybe it is. It's funny if it could just be Max Verber. I went to say before, you could hear him at the back of the West Stand. And it was a bit of a quiet part of the game, but he was shouting at Robin Koch. You could hear him. It's like, good. I like this. I'm sure Strout played better today. He still got skinned a couple of times, but I think he played better for having Verber alongside him. Koch played better with him there. Ayling has always been loud, so I think him... being back instead of Rasmus Christensen, who, you know, compared to all the kind of the videos we saw of him in the summer, has looked a little bit meek. There's some signs there that maybe we are going to stop conceding loads and loads of stupid goals. And that would be a big, big improvement because scoring stupid goals has not really been a problem until now that we've signed Rutter and we can't score anymore.
Just on the big, sexy, timid pirate, I think his probably weakest point today was going forward.
He had a couple of crossing opportunities.
Yeah, when we're doing those little tight interchanges of play over towards the edge of the area, just trying to find something, you know, somebody could run in behind, find a pass or whatever. He's just not quite got the technical ability, has he, to play in those situations. He does fine, you know, like far better than I could.
You should watch the video of Jason Pearce playing wing back for a half.
I think what we're saying is sign a left back.
If Verber is that good at making, organising and sweeping up and great positioning and making the players around him defend better, Firpo can come back in because we know he's good going forward. And if there's any problems going the other way, then Verber can just do what he was doing for Strauch and just help him.
Mm.
We should really test Verber, put him alongside Llorente for a game.
That will probably happen.
Let's see how well can you organise this.
Koch is suspended for Forest.
Is he?
Yeah, because he picked up his fifth yellow today.
And so that will likely happen. So, and also there's the...
I'm looking forward to that now.
Well, we can test it against...
I was joking.
We can test it against Boreham Stanley. Because that... I mean, I don't know. Would you play Verber now? He looks important. But you could potentially do Firpo and Llorente either side of him and see how he copes physically and mentally.
I think maybe we probably do against Boreham Stanley what we did against Cardiff, which is start a strong side. Start a strong side and then hopefully get the game won and then take him off.
Yeah.
Feels like the most sensible approach to do it. And again, just the momentum of going into the FA Cup game and winning it would be good. So let's do that.
I mean, it's been a good week.
Yeah.
I know we lost to Aston Villa, but everybody...
That was last week.
That was 8 days ago.
Yeah, so it's not this week.
It's a long, you know, come on.
I know what you mean, in terms of game weeks.
It's only because of the television. This should have been Saturday to Saturday. you could see what Marsh was saying about, you know, obviously he overdid it with complete performance and also begs the question of why it's taken 10 months to get to this point. But you could see we played well. And Cardiff, five beautiful goals. We don't worry about the ones we conceded or the offside one that could have made it three. And then today, good old solid 0-0 draw. We don't look like a bunch of idiots getting beat left, right and centre. We can defend.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt the Urense Firpo thing, that's what we did in the cup, isn't it? Which was fine while Verbo was on.
Mm.
Then he went off and it all went to shit.
Yeah.
By the end.
Andrew L. says in the comments, that's the type of game that De Bruyne would thread millimetre perfect passes to score the only goal in the game.
For Leeds.
But that's why he's a 100 million plus player. Yeah, exactly, isn't it?
I was gonna write by De Bruyne down, but I won't give him the price.
I think it's still a good idea.
Put a bid in, see what happens. Yeah, I thought everyone played well without us actually creating anything, which is, does that... Is that wrongly ascribing a good performance if we've not created anything?
I was going to say, I mean, what today possibly proves is that you can play this system and it can work with better players in it. Mm. Maybe the equation is as simple as that. Because I was looking at that today thinking, if you put a slightly more dynamic midfielder in there, because Tyler Adams does a lot of dirty work, a lot of tidying up. I think he's been looking more progressive in recent weeks as well, trying to get the ball and move it forward. But he's not a playmaker in the traditional sense, is he? And then Rocker tends to be sort of tidy and quite efficient, but again, he's not.
He did give them their best chance in the game as well.
So
didn't
he's very creative in that respect. But no, what I mean to say is, he's not somebody who's going to pick it up and run with the ball through midfield. So you can see why they were looking like Unahi, and who knows now? You know, we're getting in towards the sharp end of the transfer window. Maybe they get that one done or something like that.
I did think one thing that we haven't always done this season, which did happen today. It did feel like we actually were able to play through the zones of the team, though. Like, earlier in the season, getting from defence to midfield to attack was very difficult. Admittedly, today we got to attack and sort of ran out of ideas, but we did at least get it there, and there was a vague structure to it and everything, which I think in the worst performances of the season, I've just thought, I can't tell how we're ever going to get the ball from a defender to an attacker. Yeah. So
Brentford have only lost four games.
That's good.
We've lost nine. Leicester have lost 12. Liverpool have lost six. Chelsea lost seven. Villa lost eight. So they're not easily beaten. I'm refusing to believe that Newcastle have only lost one. I think that must be a mistake on
one.
The app. Yes, one. 10 wins, 9 draws. Just doesn't feel right. They've only conceded 11 goals. Is this the truth? Anyway, it's a topsy-turvy world.
It's a topsy-turvy league, is the Premier League. There are so many sides, such as Newcastle, like Brentford, who set up to defend in large numbers and then hit you on the counter. Mm. It feels like a very counter-attacky league.
Yeah, and the results this weekend have not done as much harm. After Wolverhampton lost, what happened yesterday? There was a bunch of...
But I don't normally, if we're not playing, I don't tend to just sit and watch the scores come in, but I made the mistake of doing it yesterday, and with about 10 minutes to go, I think we were in the bottom three, and Southampton had just scored, but then it was ruled out by VAR. Forest were losing to Bournemouth, Leicester were beating Brighton, and then everything switched, and it was like, okay, it's fine. Everyone down the bottom, shit. It turns out.
It's funny today, and what you're saying earlier, Moscow, about feeling all right and quite positive about a 0-0, goes back to what we were saying. It feels like that was a normal football team, not one that's spiraled out of control. Like, you look like a team like Everton, for example, who are just, it stinks of relegation, does that, the whole setup, doesn't it? Because it's just descending into kind of toxicity and stuff. And today, it didn't feel like that for us. I'm very aware that we could easily go down with the points total we've accrued, but it doesn't feel like it's out of control and spiraling towards that.
I'm a big believer. I think you normally need something more than just being not very good to get relegated. You're unlucky if the only reason you get relegated is that your team isn't very good. You've always got something a bit more, like what's happening at Everton. And it's funny, it just occurred to me that, because I, you know, compare them very easily to us going down in 2003-04. And I always say that, like, you knew we were in trouble that season the moment Jody Morris turned up. Yeah, oh no, this isn't going to be good. And it just occurred to me then that, like, what's the chances of Frank Lampard getting Jody Morris in for the rest of the season? He could be the spectre that kind of turns up. But things like that, you know, you have Sky reporters haranguing your chairman outside the ground, like, are you going to sack him? Are you going to sack all that kind of stuff on Southampton, where they've, you know, they've sacked Hasenhüttl, and they've, you can see all the kind of mistakes that they've made kind of coming to roost with Nathan Jones there and losing again. And who else is down the bottom? Leicester, where it's all kind of like, their model just ground to a halt about two seasons ago, and since then they've just been racking up these, like, everything's been going wrong over a while. We're just not very good.
but hopefully getting better. That's
yeah,
the,
and we're yeah. in a bit... The risk we might have is the drift where nobody knows where we are with the ownership necessarily, where it's like, what is the... It's hard to put a finger on what the bigger plan is. So if it did come down to, if you had to sack Jesse Marsh, it's like, whose decision is that? What kind of coach do you get? A short-term coach, a long-term coach? What's the next person going to want? All those kind of things. So that kind of like lack of definition about what we're doing this season could rebound on us. And that's something extra. But when you just...
Although on that, Moscow, word has it that things have progressed this weekend quite substantially. So hopefully we find out in due course that...
Well, who knows?
We've heard that before, but fairly serious noise suggesting that that has now basically reached a point of near agreement. So,
but then, you know, does it... Yeah. I would almost wish they'd shut up and save it to the summer because
it might be the summer where they actually do the formal handover. But what it might will do is hopefully if they've ironed out the wrinkle about who or what happens if we do go down, and it sounds hopefully like 49ers are going to be all in regardless now, then that is a good thing. I mean, in terms of certainty about what the remainder of the season holds, we're not wondering what's going to happen. There's just that little bit more security behind the scenes, I guess.
We're not shouting at people in the streets. And
we've got an assistant manager, haven't we?
Have we? Has he come in
yet? Yeah, well, he is doing. So that doesn't strike me as a team that
The most mischievous part of me thought, maybe they're just they're just going to delay starting him until sort of Tuesday. Just wait until Tuesday. See how we get on against Brentford on Sunday.
There's the fact that we've spent 30 million on a new striker as well. When I know they look like good signings on paper, but West Ham getting Danny Ings and Chris Wood going on loan to Nottingham Forest.
It's all very Premier League, isn't it?
Yeah, it all feels a bit kind of like very standard.
It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
Which I know, in fairness, is something we've said before. We've said, why don't we just buy a boring Premier League left back?
Warm bodies.
Who's the Preston guy that we wanted in the Championship to play up front?
And John Parkin. West Ham?
No, Jordan Hugill.
Yeah, yeah. It's very much like the obvious one. Oh, we'll just get Jordan Hugill. We'll just get Danny Ings. Just like, and you know Danny Ings will probably, he'll score 4. And then they'll still go down anyway. So yeah, it's good. But then the thing that's been lacking is the team to maybe kind of reflect that the rest of the club seems just like a bit, we're not the Everton chaos, but Diego Llorente just defends as we are. So God solving bless. That problem is
God
a big
bless that man. God bless him. Boost.
Can I ever go up Pat Bamford, by the way? I've just checked my notes. I did think he may have dislocated his shoulder in the last...
So why do you want to have a go at him?
Because he teased me. He stood up from a corner and he was holding his arm really tight to his body and not moving it. And I thought, for fuck's sake.
No, you know it hasn't happened.
He's dislocated it. What's he done that for?
What's he done that for?
But then he seemed to run off like 30 seconds later. But you know, you see it and you think, oh no, that's happened already, has it?
Verba was kind of running as if he had, like whatever was it, like making him suffer during the week had come back in the last 5 minutes. Mm. But that's a warrior putting his body on the line, and that's what we like.
The Man United Arsenal game is underway as we speak, and it's 1-1 in that game. By the way, Eddie Nketiah has scored an equaliser. Man United were in front for like 7 minutes, but Ben White has already taken the yellow card for booting somebody. So doing God's work, even though they're not here anymore.
Benjamin
White and Eddie Nketiah doing good things.
There's another one that would have been quite boring. Oh, just get Eddie Nketiah back.
Mm. We nearly did.
I'd rather have Woodward tear.
So overall then, who would you pick as your man of the match, Verba?
Yeah.
May have thought Ayling was good. Adams is always pretty good in midfield. I would like what he does. Not bothered. Give it to someone.
Thanks for your enthusiasm, Michael.
Give it to Verba.
Hope you're enjoying the show. Thanks for joining us on the match ball. This is Michael's effort levels now. Well, I'm not bothered.
Well, I don't think anyone was outstanding necessarily. I thought everyone played fine. That's what I'd tell them.
Overall thoughts then, as we head off on this one.
Everyone played fine. It was a bit boring. Preferred it when we were crap. At least we could get excited.
At least we could get angry. At least we could feel something, Michael. Eh?
We only left someone a mark at the back post once today. Useless. Do it more.
Let's see if we like Sofa Score might rile you up. So they've given the highest rated player that I could see on the pitch for this is Brentford's goalkeeper got 8.3.
For what? Mm.
Happy with that?
He made a couple of saves, didn't he?
God, I thought this would... I'm trying to inspire you into anger.
Who was our best player?
Our best player, it's joint between Luke Ayling and Robin Koch, both got 7.6. Verber got 6.8, the same as Strike.
Lies.
Larocca got 6.8, Tyler Adams is 7, blah, 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 blah. Jack Harrison, 6.4, got less than Brendan Aaronson. Wilf only got 6.7.
Just a couple of closing thoughts. Negative Normington, says one person. That's Whiskey Omega. Andrew's just following up saying, none of us are saying Marsh has to go today. That's something. Well, it feels like there was a plan today that actually worked. Even if it didn't bear fruit, it worked. And it didn't look like a complete shambles, did it? It looked like neat and tidy and organised and like what a football team's supposed to look
like. All we've been wanting is to not concede the same goal every single game, and we didn't today.
Which he was progress. Brought in to sort out the defence 10 months ago, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and here we are.
And John, thank you very much for your kind words, saying cutting edge opinions here. That's what we're here for. That's why we're here.
You say it didn't bear fruit. We got the juicy tangerine of a Premier League point.
Searing tactical insight from us three.
We talked about half spaces. I don't know what Murray wants.
Yeah, I know. John, get off the comments. I might ban you for that. No, seriously, thank you for joining us on the Match Ball. We will go away and reflect on this. We've got some clips coming up from maybe from the Leeds game. Although it's been fairly uncontroversial, hasn't it, as today? So there's not going to be any huge, I don't know, angry opinions out there. So we could dive into Everton maybe for propaganda.
I've already got a bit of Frank.
Oh, good.
There's some in the can.
So, yeah, we'll have propaganda on Tuesday. Weekly show after that. Phil Hay show coming on Monday. Plenty of stuff to get your teeth into. Maggie's on sale on the website, the Eddie Gray edition. Lots of stuff about the whole Gray clan, isn't there? In there.
Yeah.
That's all at the Square Ball.
From Edwin Francis Andrew. And I think he's just called Archie. He's not Archibald, but we can call him Archibald if we want. And loads of other stuff. Lots of click.
Yes. Good. Right. Listen, Moscow, we need to go.
I'm not stopping you.
Take care now. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.